remarks of the president at the interview on board the presidential train, Monday, September 29, 1952.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Elmer Hansen speaking to you. The rumble that you hear in the background is the president's train as it moves into the state of North Dakota, moving now from Fargo to Grand Forks. We're speaking to you at the moment in the dining room of the president's special car. Seated at the table with me, the president of the United States, Harry S. Truman, and Jack French, who will now interview the president of the United States. Mr. French.
Thank you very much, Elmer Hansen. Well, folks, it's a really great thrill for me to be here, to have a chance to meet the President of the United States, something I guess any farm boy always dreams of. Mr. President, I'd like to ask you a couple of informal questions. First of all, how many stops will you make on this trip and how many speeches will you make?
Oh, about 90 stops and about that many speeches.
How do you keep your voice in shape through all those many talks?
I have the best doctor in the world. He keeps me in shape all the time.
I'd like to ask you where the term whistled stop originated.
Well, it originated in a speech by Senator Taft in the 1948 campaign. He made the statement that Truman is stopping at all the whistle stops, but it's not going to do him any good. And I think he's kind of sorry he made that statement because it did do me some good. I got elected. And instead of the Republicans making fun of me now, they don't smile at all because they're sorry they gave us the name.
Mr. President, in an election year, there are always many questions that the American people would like to ask in order to clarify their thinking about basic political issues. One of the big issues this year, as always, is Democratic versus Republican farm policy. We've chosen a number of the most important questions bearing on the agricultural issue with the thought that the people of North Dakota would appreciate hearing your views. The first question is, do you think the Midwest farm vote this year will go Democratic or Republican?
I understand that the poll takers aren't having much luck in getting farmers to say how they're planning to vote. Incidentally, that's a question of 1948, and maybe it's a good sign for the Democrats. Now, I'm neither a poll taker nor a prophet, but I don't see that there's anything in the Democratic record on agriculture the past 4 years that should cause farmers to turn away from the party if they voted Democratic in 1948. And I can't find anything in the Republican record on agriculture either in the past 4 years or in the past 30 years that would invite foreign people to vote Republican. I suppose I'm a little prejudiced. Nevertheless, I can't recall a platform in recent years that had a better farm plank than this year's Democratic platform. And I can't think of one that ever had a worse farm plank than you'll find in this year's Republican platform. It's so bad that the Republican candidate tried to cover it up the first chance he had. In fact, the Republican candidate is trying now to stand on the Democratic platform. Under these circumstances, why should any farmer who voted Democratic 4 years ago change over now? I might point out that the election was very close here in North Dakota in 1948. A switch of 10,000 votes would have put this state in the Democratic column where it ought to always have been.
Mr. President, there have been charges that you fooled the farmer in 1948 by saying that the 80th Congress prevented the Commodity Credit Corporation from providing grain storage. Would you comment on that?
I certainly will. The charge is just plain bunk and originated in a damn lie on a speech made on the floor of the Senate. And where did this phony charge come from? The first time I heard it, it came from the lips of Tom Dewey, the man behind the general at the Chicago Convention. And when did he make the charge? In 48? In 49? In 50? In 51? No, he didn't make it until this year, nearly 4 years after this terrible thing was supposed to have happened. Since when do farmers need to have their thinking done for them by a city Republican, 4 years late at that? Incidentally, this charge has been answered point by point by the Secretary of Agriculture, Mr. Brannon. I said in 1948 that the 80th Congress stuck a pitchfork in the farmer's back by crippling the grain storage program. I say it again right now, and I say further that the Republicans in the 82nd and the 81st Congresses tried to pitchfork the farmer over and over again. They tried to pitchfork you by voting against REA and the Agricultural Conservation Program. They tried to pitchfork you by levying crippling taxes against co-ops and by wrecking crop insurance. They didn't get away with any of these things, but they sure did try.
Mr. President, what is the difference between the Democratic and the Republican position on price supports?
There's just one reason why that's a hard question to answer. The reason is that nobody knows what the Republican position on price supports really is. They have at least four positions. There's the position of the 80th Congress. They voted a sliding scale with a lower level of supports at 60% of parity. Or even in 1932, farm prices averaged about 60% of parity. Then there's the position taken by the Republican platform. It says, we favor a farm program aimed at full parity prices for all farm products in the marketplace. Get that last phrase, in the marketplace. Now, what do those words mean? They mean that the Republicans will be very happy to see the farmers get fair prices if prices happen to be fair. If they don't happen to be fair, well, prosperity's just around the corner. They don't say that, and it may take 10 years to turn that corner. That's exactly the kind of farm program under which one farmer out of four went broke in 1920 and 1932. The Republican platform says our program should include commodity loans on all non-perishable products supported, now note this, supported at the level necessary to maintain a balanced production. Now, what does that mean? It means that commodity loans should not be used to help the farmers receive fair prices, but primarily to balance production. In other words, if a commodity loan at 25% of parity will help balance production by starving half the wheat growers out of farming, then the loan level should be 25% of parity. I haven't read such a silly statement in a farm plank since 1932, when the Republicans said that under their administration, and I now quote their words, the position of agriculture was gradually improved. Now, I'll tell you about the perishables. The Republican platform says, where government action on perishable commodities is desirable, we recommend locally controlled marketing agreements and other voluntary methods. Surely they know better than that. We already have marketing agreements in operation. They help, but they don't do the whole job that's needed. How could you use marketing agreements, for example, to support prices of hogs or eggs? Then there's the position of the Republican candidate. He walks the farm plank right off the end of it and into the deep water. He says he's for the present legislation, providing supports at 90% of parity on basic commodities through 1954. He even tries to make out that the Republicans favored this extension of supports. Now, the fact is that 53% of House Republicans were against it and were accorded that way on the vote. And Senator Taft says that if he had been there, he'd have voted against it too. And Senator Taft is General Eisenhower's principal advisor now. The Republican candidate also says that a way must be found to protect prices from perishables. But his running mate, the junior partner on the ticket, is on record as voting against supports on perishables. So there you have the Republican Party, split at least four ways. You have the position of the presidential candidate, then the contrary position of the vice presidential candidate, then the position of the platform, and finally the position of the 80th Congress. Now, as to the Democratic position on price supports, that's easy. There's only one position, and that is stated clearly in our farm plank in the platform, and here it is. We will continue to protect the producers of basic agricultural commodities under terms of a mandatory price support program at not less than parity, not less than 90% of parity. We continue to advocate practical methods for extending support to other storables and to the producers of perishable commodities, which account for 3/4 of all farm income.
Mr. President, the Republicans have charged that agricultural research has been neglected under the Democratic administration. Is that correct?
That's ridiculous, and I'll tell you why. A man hour of farm labor today produces 75% more food and fiber than it produced 20 years ago. Crop yields per acre have gone up 9 times as fast in the last 20 years as they went up in the 20 years before that. Those gains could not have been made without the wonderful research accomplishments of the Department of Agriculture and the state experiment stations. Back in 1938, we passed legislation authorizing the 4 big regional research laboratories of the Department of Agriculture. What did the Republicans do? They were so enthusiastic about research that they voted against it 5-1.
Mr. President, out here on the northern Great Plains, we're subject to extreme and uncertain weather. Is crop insurance an issue in this election?
It certainly is. And the Republicans have fought it every inch of the way. I'm very proud of the crop insurance program that has been developed under Democratic leadership since 1938. It was a brand new field, one that private enterprise could not handle. But we made a start at that time. The job of providing local leadership and know-how was farmed out to the farmer, elected county and community committeemen in every corner of the land, and it's paid off. Today, the federal crop insurance program is still operated by those same farmer elected committeemen. It's helping stabilize farm income in 868 counties in 43 states. But let me say that the Republicans voted 16-1 to kill it back in 1943. Only last year they voted 2-1 to cripple the crop insurance program. But crop insurance and research and price supports aren't all that the Republicans are against. Take rural electrification, for instance. Today, nearly 9 out of every 10 farms in the country have power line electricity, compared with 1 out of 10 in 1935. This great gain has been made in spite of the Republicans in Congress, who have ganged up against REA on almost every vote.